Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quick time, your Friday. Congratulations, you have made it. Another weekend is here, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Rick Butler coming to you live this afternoon from Hops and Hollers, Old North Knoxville. Always good to be back out here, presented by our friends at Inward Half and First Tee Knoxville. Be here for another hour or so if you want to come out and say hello. We send things back to the studio where Adam Hickman is standing by. Your top five at five this afternoon brought to you by Crown Cleaners. Adam?
All right, thank you, Russell. Number one, Devontae Gaines announced that he will be following former UT assistant Kim English to George Mason.
How about that? I'd heard that he might be a candidate to join Des Oliver up there at ETSU, but he follows Kim English to George Mason. It's good basketball up there, man. The A-10, Rick Barnes coached there for a year. I believe that was his first head coaching job right before he got the Providence job. So, hey, man, good luck to the Ticket. I hope he fits in there and finds himself a niche. Obviously, you know, Kim English wouldn't have taken him like if he didn't think he could contribute there. So, it seemed like a good young man, man. Hopefully things work out for him up there.
Number two, CBS has updated their latest mock draft rankings, and one of them now has former Vol receiver Josh Palmer going as high as the second round.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow. Where did they have him going to?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it was like pick 70.
I thought it might have been the Bengals.
Okay.
I have to go back and check, but I think he's a second-round talent, man. I think he was one of right there with Trey Smith as the best players on this team last year. And think about the plays he made, the two touchdown catches he had against Georgia, some of the other touchdowns he scored this year. And then think about Tennessee's quarterback situation.
I think
like if he had some sort of consistent delivery, and here's another thing about Josh Palmer that people don't know. He went in, because he could have come back, right? He could still be playing. And Pruitt, after the season, he went in to, and I know this from talking to some people who know about the situation, he went in to see Pruitt and told him, Coach, I'm going to go ahead and jump in the draft, hoping that Pruitt would re-recruit him. And maybe he was always gone, because sure, if he's getting a second-round grade, like he'd probably be gone. But Pruitt's response was, all right, bye, thanks. Like, didn't know, well, we hate to hear that. Is there anything we could do to keep you around? Like, you're a great player, and we're going to get better and get you more passes and everything. Why don't you think about it for a minute? Like, if he had put the hard sell on him, he might have stuck around. And what a weapon he would be in this kind of offense,
yeah,
that we're about to install. Now, again, maybe he goes through the process and they say, look, dude, you're fast. You can be a second-round draft pick, and he comes out no matter what. But it's just another, like, Pruitt didn't even try to keep him around, and so he was just like, okay, I'm gone.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised at all either, knowing that, you know, maybe Pruitt didn't have a big hand in the offense, maybe just didn't really have an interest in much of the offensive players. But one more quick note on the NFL draft, and maybe for a guy like Josh Palmer, one thing that I am considering when draft day comes is the Baltimore Ravens' new wide receiver coach, T. Martin. Maybe you could have a situation where T. Martin is saying, hey, Maybe there's a guy on the Tennessee roster, or formerly the Tennessee roster. And I know that maybe they didn't get the entire shine that they should have last year because, you know, Tennessee had no passing attack. Maybe he could have a voice and take a flyer on one of these Tennessee wide receivers, maybe even Palmer.
Sure, T would put in a good word for him.
Yeah.
Number three, Bears Washington football team has released Thaddeus Moss.
Thaddeus Moss released by the football team, Bear. How does that strike you? Who? Thank you. Continue, Adam.
All right, so number four, LSU star guard Javonte Smart has hired an agent and declared for the NBA draft. That move should likely help Will Wade clear up some cap space down there in Baton Rouge.
Javonte Smart taking a pay cut to leave LSU for professional basketball, man. Wow, that is a...
I'll be glad to see the end of that guy.
That is an interesting move. How about that? No. Hope he got a strong-ass offer.
Do you guys think that Will Wade's next with Sean Miller falling?
Man, I don't know.
They seem awfully... The problem they've got down there right now is they're under fire, like big time. Orgeron, Miles, Wade, all of them. And I wonder if they're afraid to cut anybody loose right now.
Well, obviously they were with him because he just, when they suspended him, wouldn't talk to him, but wouldn't cooperate with their investigation, and they end up bringing him back. Which, I mean, you talk about just a feckless administration. That's what LSU has going on down there. And Will Wade, according to Pat Forty, who is on the list a couple of weeks ago, is being investigated by the FBI. So that's aside from whatever the NCAA has on him going. He has bigger problems, as in trying to keep himself out of prison right now.
Like federal prison.
So, yeah, I mean, I think Will Wade will be gone. It's just how much longer does LSU want to string it out?
So on Will Wade's case, though, I guess comparing them, Sean Miller had a couple of bad years right before he got fired. Like, the last 3 years have not been good, especially what I believe they consider at Arizona. 17-9 last year, 21-11 the year before, and then third year rounding that out, 17-15. So I wonder if maybe that even factored in, whereas LSU maybe not feeling that
maybe.
Way.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, they were better. They were better these past 2 years than Arizona was, and it doesn't seem like, I think Arizona, they lost Book Richardson, was one of the guys that was caught up in all that stuff too, and I think that kneecapped him a little bit because he wasn't bringing in anybody to replace DeAndre Ayton, whereas Will Wade was able to go out there and continue to bring in Cam Thomas this past year and couple of other high-level recruits, so he was able to keep that pipeline going and keep the wins coming. So, yeah, they're a little bit probably not as chomping at the bit to get rid of him as Arizona was with Sean Miller.
And number five, so police in Germany are asking for the help to capture 20 to 25 monkeys that have escaped from their zoo enclosure.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this happened in Freiburg, Germany. 20 to 25 Barbary mock monkeys escaped their zoo Thursday night.
I feel like this would be where would be a time where Cam Black and I could shine. You know, if they want to pay to bring over the fan run animal experts over there to Germany, I feel like man, young Cameron Black could help round them up for a nominal fee.
Westchester will remember the AIDS monkey that got loose. What was that? You guys remember that? That
was you're talking about the real one from facility in Reston, Virginia.
Or I thought it was in Kentucky.
No, it was in Reston, Virginia.
They had the AIDS monkey on the loose. He was out loose for a couple of days. Monkey that had AIDS and was biting people. Very scary.
You don't mess with monkeys.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam Hickman.
You guys really disrespected Randy Moss's son on the third down.
I feel like
Randy Moss's son is a bigger deal.
Thaddeus Moss is Randy Moss's son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he played for us?
No, he played at LSU.
Oh. I thought you were talking about
Wait. You're talking about us. Did you just
watch?
I never know what your allegiance is. Are you a football team fan today?
Yes.
Okay. Is that what you're referring to? He played for Washington?
No, I came in like you sprung that on me when I'd been off air for. I had to go make a phone call, and then you.
What
just
are you talking about?
I have no idea what the hell you all were talking about. I thought y'all were telling me that another Tennessee player hit the portal. I was like, Thaddeus Moss, who's that? I didn't realize we were talking about the kid from LSU. Well, you know, he's got to embarrass me like this, dude.
I don't know. I don't know if you should be embarrassed or I should be embarrassed.
You set me up for failure, and then you do this deal like you're doing now. And it's, you know, to be quite honest with you, it's getting a little disheartening, Russ. It goes into my week-long speech about respect. I've gotten a ton of DMs of support. You want to hear them?
I don't know. Do I? Can I mention while you pull up DMs of your idiot fan club trashing me that the top 5-5 was brought to you this afternoon by Crown Cleaners, where Starch Madness continues through the end of the month. That's right, folks. You have several more weeks to participate. Bring in 3 dress shirts. Get the 4th laundered for free at Crown Cleaners, locally owned and operated by great Vol fans. Crown Cleaners, Knoxville's choice for dry cleaning for over 50 years now. All you have to do to get that coupon is go to our website, fanrunradio.com. Click on the Starch Madness logo. From there, you can print off the coupon and stick it in with your shirts before they're picked up, or just show it to them on your phone when you take your laundry to Crown Cleaners. They've got 2 locations on Bearden Hill and on North Shore Drive. You can schedule your free pickup and delivery online at crowncleaners.com. Again, support Fan Run Radio by supporting our locally owned and operated sponsors like Crown Cleaners and Hops and Hollers, where we are this afternoon. I had a chance to go in there and purchase a Terrapin Los Bravos Lager. One of my favorites. Great way to kick off the weekend here. We got Rusty Enzer coming up in 10 minutes. We're going to talk Tennessee baseball with him. Your number, if you want to get on the show, is 865-546-8200. All right, Bear, what does the Peanut Gallery have to say?
I mean, there's numerous ones. Where do we start? Russell's a dullard, Bear. What would he do without you? What a stooge. And then I responded back, a complete dumb blank.
Wow. Good to know you have my back.
Hey, man, keep strong. We'll all stay together. Never mind. That was just a nice one that got sent to me.
Did he do that on purpose? I feel like Bear probably did that on purpose, right?
Yeah, may have. Got to cut Russell's mic off after all that crying. You're going to have to finish this one out, big dog. Let's see. Russell equals a tyrant and a stooge.
I feel like that's probably the same guy. Is it? Be honest. These are not Twitter DMs. These are texts from Willie.
They're Twitter DMs, dude. Just
from
no
who? From who? Put a name on it.
Just no respect from Russ anymore. You need to show that man the 50 states with a big old right.
I don't condone violence or threats of violence on this radio program. That's my buddy Dylan on Twitter.
I mean, I've got more.
What are the boys over at... What's your place, your hangout, where Geraldo Vol, those guys are?
Volnugs, the best message board in all of Valdom.
What are the Volnugs?
It's where all the elites hang out.
Are they all in your little fan club as well?
You've got some people kind of like you a little bit. Those guys are really hard on all the radio shows.
Can we get serious for a minute and talk about the new downtown ballpark?
We can get into it. There's some people. I feel really strongly about this. So do I. And I think that the detractors are being short-sighted. Let's get into it, sure.
So,
but you go ahead, and then I'll tell you what my number one thing about that I find fault with their logic.
So there's a bill now in the state government in Nashville, the state legislators, and they're pitching a plan. Everybody says, how are we going to fund this $65 million of public money? It's a lot of money, right?
Yeah. You spend money to make money, boys.
Well, do you?
Yes, here's you do.
That's not what we're talking about here is the thing. And this is not like a big political thing where usually, you know, all the Republicans are like, oh no, we don't want to raise taxes, and Democrats are like, yeah, let's raise taxes to pay for it. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about any sort of tax increase. The bill that's being considered asks to take sales tax from businesses that would be developed in a quarter mile radius around the stadium and use it exclusively to pay off the bond for the venue.
And this is what Glenn Jacobs has signed off on this plan. Becky Duncan Massey, who's a state senator, is...
That's not fair.
What do you mean it's not fair?
Because they're trying to put this on all these people, all the businesses within a quarter of a mile, and they don't do that with any other business that gets tax breaks in the city.
How would you like to fund it?
I mean, we're just spread it out over everybody.
Raise taxes?
Yeah, raise taxes just a little bit to pay for it.
Why? Here's the thing. There aren't any businesses down there right now. It's a big vacant lot. So you're not getting anything from it. And you won't if you don't build this stadium.
Agreed. That's why you got to build it. I'm just saying that it shouldn't. I don't think it should be all on.
But nobody, you don't have to go and open a business there if you know that's part of the deal there.
There's businesses within a quarter of a mile. That's the entire old city. They're wanting the old city to pay for the stadium.
Everybody
from West Knoxville, North Knoxville, and South Knoxville are going to flock down there.
But it's not a tax increase on them. They're taking a percentage of the sales tax that they're already paying. And taking that and sending it, instead of they're sending it to the state, they're earmarking those dollars for the stadium.
Well, I've got no problem with that then.
There's no tax increase at all. Yeah. But the objection that is being raised is that some are leery of, some are suggesting that the pie will stay roughly the same.
No,
and that
that's
stadium
the part I really have a problem
will simply
with.
Pull a bigger piece of the tax dollars away from businesses outside the stadium zone, costing the state money. So here's what State Senator Bo Watson says, quote, "You're not really getting any new dollars. You're simply transferring dollars from one area of your city to another area of your city. If the state is collecting sales tax in this other area of the city, and now those people are now just transferring to another part of the city, well, now the state is actually losing tax dollars."
That's complete rubbish.
But he's theoretically, like, I see the point he's trying to make, but what he's not figuring into is you build the stadium, there'll be a lot of people coming from outside of downtown who he's thinking it as if, okay, downtown has a fixed number of people who are going down there to spend their dollars,
yeah.
Right? And I'm going to Hops and Hollers, or I'm going to Market Square to eat. And if you build a baseball stadium, then all of a sudden I'm not going there, and I'm going to the baseball stadium.
That's
which
silly.
It could be true for some people, but it's also more likely going to be true that there could be a lot of people, particularly from the more affluent suburbs of West Knoxville, who are now going to Sevier County to go see the Smokies play, are going to come downtown. You're going to be adding people.
Flooding
to,
it.
To the area down there now. And so, like, I haven't heard any. Here, what I would say to this guy is, okay, well, if that's your concern, then first of all, your concern is that the state is not getting those dollars anymore. But the last I heard, we had a big rainy day fund, right? We had a tax surplus,
yeah,
in the state government. So I don't see why that should be a huge concern. But if your concern is for the small businesses of Market Square downtown, that all of a sudden they're going to be losing out on customers who are now going to be going down to the Smokies ballpark instead, well, go ask them.
They aren't.
Go down there and ask them. Come down here and ask Todd from Hops and Hollers. Go down there to Market Square and knock on doors. Ask the local business owners down there, because I haven't heard a single one that is in opposition. Because they, you know,
Todd
what?
Todd told me before the show he hopes they build it.
They know that. You build a ballpark down here, more people are going to be coming down here, and it's only going to be good for everybody.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, if I'm going to the stadium, I'm stopping in here at Todd's a couple hours before first pitch, having a cold beer, getting something good to eat, and then heading over to the ball field. And then on the way home, I may stop back in and drink another cold beer.
Well, I would just, again, we got to get Rusty in here, and maybe we'll get his take on this. But I'd advise people to contact your state reps and let them know what you think about this, because it's being debated right now in the state legislature.
So does the Bo Morgan guy, is he a Knoxville state senator?
I don't know who that dude is. I've not heard of him. He is a physical therapist, and he's head of the finance committee for the state senate. So, but contact him. Let him know. You don't have to be mean about it. Like, I don't.
Well, no.
See why this has to be acrimonious in any way. But if you I feel like
I just strongly disagree with his view on it.
And maybe
I've got nothing against him.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting what he's saying. But I just disagree strongly with the idea that there's a fixed
amount of people are going to come down here. I feel like it's going to be a huge boom for the area, particularly coming out of a year in which a lot of businesses, particularly down here, have taken a hit because, I'll say it, I haven't come downtown as much as I usually do in the past year because of all the COVID restrictions and everything. So area needs it, man, not just from a sports fan perspective, but from a business perspective.
Yeah, I'll be interested, sorry, Russ.
Make your voice heard. Talk to your people in your community, your state legislators. Let them know this is something you're on board with and you want to see. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We're going to take a quick timeout. Rusty Enzer coming up next, talking Tennessee baseball. Vols, Gators, a little over an hour away. The biggest series Lindsey Nelson Stadium has seen in 15, maybe 16 years. We'll talk with UT baseball expert Rusty Enzer coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Rickard.
The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio live this afternoon. Hops and Hollers, Central Street, North Knoxville, Russell, Bear, and Rick with you for another 35 minutes or so here on The Drive, and pleased to be joined right now by a special guest on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Rusty Enzer is a former baseball Vol and an SEC Network college baseball analyst. Rusty, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Russell, how's it going this afternoon?
Man, fired up for Tennessee baseball, Rusty. It's been a while since this town has had baseball fever like it has right now, and we've been talking about it for a while, the job Tony Vitello has done, and I texted you earlier this week and trying to find some knowledge. This is the biggest series Lindsey Nelson Stadium has hosted in quite some time.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's the first time we've had two teams battle it out here at Lindsey Nelson, two teams in the top 10 since 2004. That was Tennessee and LSU. That was back in the Rod Delmonico days when they were going to the College World Series about every 5 years. But should be an interesting game, and I'm assuming you saw the picture that I texted you earlier this afternoon when I got to the stadium. There were probably, I'd say, over 100 people lined up outside the ticket window to try to buy walk-up tickets for tonight's game. Quite frankly, I don't know that I've ever seen that before a Tennessee baseball game. At least recently, I can't think of anything that I've seen like that. So that's certainly positive.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a shame that we still have the COVID restrictions, because I feel like, what was it, about a 4,500 seats or something in there? Rusty, I feel like they would fill that thing up this weekend three times.
I don't think there's any doubt we would probably have standing room only if COVID wasn't around. I think people around here are just, the weather's great tonight. You know, Florida's a big-name opponent. In other sports, Florida's had their way with Tennessee in football and basketball in the past and in baseball as well. And I think people around here like to see Florida get spanked every once in a while, and this is a good opportunity to witness it this weekend.
Well, you've got a program right now that, I mean, basketball has been this way. Football used to be this way, but it's been so long. But a program that goes – and this is the thing about Tony's program right now, Rusty, is that the players expect to win. There's an expectation every time they step out on the field, and we've talked about it, man. That has not always been the case here in recent years, but let's talk about this matchup here with Florida. They are number 9, Tennessee number 4, I believe, in the coaches poll right now. What does Tennessee have to do to have success against the Gators this weekend?
Well, first off, I'm glad you brought that up. You're right. Tennessee expects to win this series. And that's, it's a direct relation of their head coach. I mean, Tony Vitello is slowly changing the culture around here. And instead of hoping to win, they're expecting to win. So that's a key component right there. Florida has been a little, they're talented, no question about it. But they've been hot and cold. They started out the SEC slate by sweeping Texas A&M, and then they go on the road to South Carolina and get swept. But they won a big series against one of the better teams in the conference last weekend against Ole Miss. So they've been hot and cold, but I think Tennessee just needs to keep doing what Tennessee's doing. They're not flashy. They work the count. They get on base. They're first in the league in walks and hit by pitches. They're second in runs batted in. They're third in hits, third in runs scored, fourth in on-base percentage. None of the stats really wow you. They're not a power-hitting team. They don't hit a lot of home runs. They only hit one home run last weekend against Alabama. But they just need to kind of keep doing what they're doing, and that's who they are. If they get out of who they are, that's when they could get in trouble against a team like Florida.
Man, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. The patience at the plate this team shows is remarkable. And you said they're second in walks. I believe they're second in walks in the country, is what the SEC Network said, I believe, during the second game against Alabama this past weekend, Rusty. I mean, it is an interesting approach in this day and age of gorilla ball, as Todd Riley liked to call it. I mean, this team's hit some home runs in key moments, but they're more patient at the plate than anything, and it's all about just getting on base, it seems, for Tony Vitello's squad.
Yeah, and I think that's important. Hitting with two strikes this weekend, I think, is going to be a key, because if you put the ball in play, a lot of bad things can happen. And uncharacteristically, Florida, which is usually in the top two or three in the league in defense, they're dead last in the SEC in defense. They've committed the most errors. So putting the ball in play, I think, is key for Tennessee. You know, they don't typically swing early in the count because they get a lot of walks, as you mentioned, hit by pitches. So, again, just don't try to be the hero. Just get on base. I mean, I hate to say this, Russell, but I'm going to mention it tonight on the telecast, but the way I think Tennessee's winning is kind of like the Oakland A's back in 2002 and Billy Beane, the movie Moneyball.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're getting on base. And does it really matter if you get on base with a single or a hit-by-pitch or a walk? You're still 90 feet from home plate. That's all that matters. So get on base and let your teammates work for you. And then Tennessee's been running a little bit more lately. They've had a lot of stolen bases in the last six games. I think they've stolen 14 bags in the last six games. So now they're ranked first in the conference in stolen bases. So when you get guys on and you can run the bases, that puts pressure on the defense, creates holes. That's how you get a guy in scoring position, and that's how you get more than one inning, one run in an inning. You know, crooked numbers is key against Florida.
Rusty, Chad Dallas has been really impressive this year, especially after Jackson Leith goes down with an injury. What have you seen from Chad Dallas? Is really he's been Tennessee's guy to start out a lot of these series, to really put Tennessee in an advantage to go into the rest of the series in a good position. And Tennessee has really done a good job of backing him up. Tennessee is averaging about 5.3 runs per game with Cheese Dallas behind them or on the mound. What do you see about his season so far that has shown you a good bit of or has impressed you, I guess, a good bit?
Well, he attacks hitters. He's not afraid of contact. He's got a low 90s fastball. If he has good feel for his breaking pitch tonight, I think that'll be a key against a team like Florida. When he has good feel for his curveball, it's got really good depth. If he can throw that early in the count and get ahead early, then you can expand the strike zone. A lot of these Florida guys strike out a lot, and I think that would be key for him. But he's done a really nice job so far this year for Tennessee, kind of setting the tone for the weekend, and that's what you want out of your Friday night guy. You want him to go deep because you've got three games to think about, save some arms, give your team a chance to win late in the game, and I expect all three games to be very close.
Talk with Rusty Enzer, VFL, SEC Network Baseball, college baseball analyst this afternoon here on The Drive. Rusty, one thing we haven't talked about, what's going on with the closer situation? Redmond Walsh, I guess, is the guy there, and he's struggled, man. They've lit him up the past couple times he's been out there. Do you think that Vitello will continue to go to him in close game situations, or do you think the senior, Sean Hundley, might get the ball in some of those situations?
Well, I think Sean Hundley's probably choice number one out of the bullpen if it's close late in a save situation, but I don't think Coach Vitello is going to hesitate to use Walsh, especially on a left-on-left matchup. But one thing that Tony's been doing this year in midweek games, Tennessee's been winning midweek games, which is important, but also he's given other players a chance to get some experience, to get some innings either on the mound or or at-bats at the plate. So, you know, what he's doing is he's building some depth as the season goes on. You know, Tennessee's been hampered by a few injuries here lately. Liam Spence, the starting shortstop, is not going to start at shortstop. He's going to be DHing at least tonight, probably the entire weekend, just like he did last weekend at Alabama. But you know, that's an injury that takes a little while to heal, and they sorely need his bat for sure in the lineup because he's second in the SEC in batting average.
So, Rusty, you're down there. Are you doing the game for SEC Network Plus tonight?
Yes, Bob Kessling and I will be doing the games tonight and Sunday. The game tomorrow will be on the SEC Network.
Oh, man, can't wait to get home and bring in Rusty and Bob tonight. It's going to be fantastic on the SEC Network.
It's going to be outstanding is what it's going to be.
Russell, just get on the couch, put the kids to bed, get Rachel down there. You know, Rachel, she loves to sit there and watch sports with you, so she'll have a good time.
A romantic evening at Stately Smith Manor.
Cuddle up under a blanket. She would love that. Just tell her it's date night. We're going to date night with the volunteers.
I think these married guys don't want their wives seeing Tony Vitello in that baseball uniform. Man, I mean, he's a
dapper Dan. He's a handsome dude.
Yeah, ladies like him, man. What can I say? It's going to be interesting for sure this weekend. So Rusty's down there. He'll have the call with Bob tonight as Tennessee takes on Florida at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Oh, man. And then we've got Vandy coming in here next week. Rusty, and how about Kumar Rocker got shelled last night by Georgia?
Yeah, I had no idea that Kumar Rocker was shimming, but he is. He did not have a good night. I think he gave up, four home runs or something like that. He threw 24 pitches before he got the first out in the top of the first inning.
Wow.
I mean, hey, listen, it happens. You know, guys can hit mid-90s fastballs in this league if you don't put them in the right spot. And if you put them right down the middle, you'll get hurt. And case in point, it just wasn't his night last night. But, you know, Vandy is a clear-cut number one team, not only in the SEC but in the country.
All right. First things first, let's try and get a series win against the Gators this weekend, and then we'll deal with the Commodores next week. Rusty, it should be a lot of fun, man. We look forward to hearing you guys on the call tonight. Have a great call, and I might be texting you some of my keen insights during the game. I'm sure you'll be looking forward to it.
Hey, you text me anytime, Russell. You know that.
Thanks, man.
Later on. See you guys.
Rusty Enser has the call tonight.
Fire, just straight fire.
You're fired up too, man. Like I've always talked to Rusty.
We're one of the top four teams in the best baseball conference in the nation, and we're playing meaningful games.
Yeah,
we're playing for something. Stuff's on the line, and I'm fired up about it. It's been a long time since we've had, you know, this kind of feeling about any of our athletic programs over there.
But we talk about for so long the rebuilding project that is Tennessee baseball. It's all been a concept. It's like, okay, well, if we can get these guys in, well, this is what we need to do. We need to get more of these guys. We need to play more of this style of ball or something.
And sure,
finally, we've worked through all that, and now it's here, and you've got your program, and it's time to go win games. It's where we want to be in football again.
Yeah, playing
with basketball.
With that Tennessee attitude, and, you know, Coach Vitello has a little bit of that Ray Mears kind of Bruce Pearl, you know, chin stuck out, ready to take on anybody, and anybody that wants some, come get some. And I personally love that. And it spills over into his team. Those guys have that same kind of attitude.
They take on his edge.
Yeah.
Don't they, Rick?
They do.
The best programs and the best teams take on all of them do, the persona of their coaches.
What about those dudes that you wrote about, the legends? Or
yes.
They got to be fired up for tonight. They're going to be in rare form, I'd imagine.
I got to tell you, that's exactly what I was going to say, is you guys were talking about just some of the excitement that's been brought back to the program. And one of the coolest things that I've seen is the reemergence of the students. The students are now back at the games. And when you think about the stadium being on campus, the students have to be a part of the game. So now you got this cool group. You got the legends of Lindsey Nelson. they're making so much noise in the SEC right now that Paul Manieri had to call him out on it the other weekend. So I think that's an awesome part
of
the game.
Dude was rattled.
But yeah, these guys are going to be nuts this weekend. Hey, there's no doubt about it. I bet they have been planning their A game. Actually, they don't plan, so you know. But I bet they've been ready with their A game for a while now.
Folks, stay with us. One more segment coming up. We'll do a little hot take, cold take, brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. When we continue, plus time for a few more of your phone calls. You want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
George.
Okay. Brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. Adam, what do you got?
Hendon Hooker will be the day one starter for the Vols next season.
Oh, man. I feel like that's the safe bet. I'm going to gamble. I'm going to say cold take. I'm a Maurer man. You know I have been for a while, Bear. You know how I like love me some Brian Maurer. He's the most athletic QB on the team. He's just got to get him together.
I'm telling
upstairs.
You, dude, after, I don't know if it's just seeing how hard he's obviously been working in the weight room. You know, we basically stood next to him for that entire Catholic IMG game last year. He's a big kid. I think if he has some proper, it wouldn't surprise me, given proper quarterback development and coaching, it wouldn't surprise me if that kid, he can make all those throws. He's gutsy. It'd be a great story, man.
So you're going cold as well?
Cold.
Is hot take for Hooker?
Yes.
Then yes. I'm going to go a hot take because I do think that Hendon Hooker brings to you a level of experience that, yes, the other guys have quality playing time on the field, but I wonder about a new coaching staff. I wonder about how much they kind of want to get a guy into the system who, again, they know has gone through a little bit more of those trials and tribulations on the field. I also wonder about who is going to be a little bit more of the long-term option for Tennessee. And to me, that is still Caden Salter. Regardless of what might have happened a couple weeks ago, to me, Hendon Hooker as the graduate transfer maybe even provides a little bit more of a clean route, if you will, to get to Salter, knowing that they're fairly similar quarterbacks. Granted, all the quarterbacks are mobile, can throw the ball to a degree, but I think with those two guys especially, They maybe present a little bit more of an X factor.
Well, I mean, Hendon Hooker also has the advantage of being, you know, he's been in the fire.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, for sure.
Adam?
Tennessee basketball will have more postseason success next year than they did this season.
Oh. Ooh, I'm going to say hot.
Yeah, hot take. I mean, it's hard not to, right? We're going to have the star point guard. We're going to have some size and shooting ability on the wings. We're going to have some veterans, especially if Fulkerson comes back. Him and Triple J have been through the fires before.
Yeah.
Maybe you add another piece.
Maybe you add Walker Kessler.
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
that'd be huge.
Yeah, well said. Let's go hot.
It's kind of hard not to panic right now when you look at a roster, but I think patience will be the key for next season.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. The Braves will not come near the MLB playoffs.
That's a cold take, man. I mean, it's too much talent not to come near it. I mean, they might not make it, but I think they'll get things turned around.
Yeah, I say cold, too. We talked to Logan Quinn today on our show, and he told us the slow start is just a thing of the past. It is perfectly fine here at the beginning. The Braves still got some things they got to fix here at the beginning of the season, but I would not be worried whatsoever.
All right, I got one more, one pop culture one for you.
Well, hold on now, I didn't weigh in.
I thought your laugh was your answer.
Buddies. That's one of your coldest takes you've ever had. They've got Ronald Acuna. I noticed something. You know, his numbers are a ton better than Bryce Drew? If you start comparing them.
You're talking about Bryce Harper, right?
Yeah, Bryce Harper. Acuna's a lot better. He's got a lot better numbers than Bryce Harper. So, yeah, Braves are going to make the playoffs.
All right, now the last one. True Detective Season 1 is the single greatest season of television.
Ooh. I'm going to have to go hot take. It's incredible.
It is pretty good.
It's a masterpiece.
Single greatest season. I mean,
you got to put in the last season of Game of Thrones into the conversation.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
What about the first, second, and third seasons were fantastic.
I would say five or six, but still, the first, I mean, that first season of True Detective, just standing alone, it's a masterpiece.
It's got to be that or season five of Breaking Bad.
What, refresh my memory, what was season five? That was like Hank pulling back the...
The mask completely.
I'm going to go hot as well. I mean, True Detective Season 1, if you haven't seen it, it's almost worth subscribing to HBO for just a month, just so you can watch those 10 episodes or so of television.
Wow, it's really hard. I'm going to say Cold Take to be a little different on the panel. Not that any disrespect towards it, but to me, my series would be towards either one of the Game of Thrones or one of the Peaky Blinders, but True Detective on any given day could get that spot.
There you have it. Hot Take, Cold Take, brought to you by our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. Was that it, Adam? Did I cut you off?
That was it.
I'm good.
Okay. Good job, Hickman.
Climate Control. These folks are getting it done over there every single day. Remember, they want to reward fan-run listeners to show its appreciation for all the referrals that they've gotten from Fan Run. And to do that, they're giving you a discount on all service and repairs, which is really great timing because it's time to start turning on your AC. And sometimes you do that, things don't work exactly like they're supposed to. Well, when that happens, you need to call the professionals at Blue Water Climate Control, like so many others have before. You can go online and read all the reviews where you'll see all the stories about how the other companies tried to fix their problem, but Blue Water is the ones that did it right and got it done. Call the guys who do it the right way, the right repair, the right way, the first time. That's Blue Water Climate Control, 865-299-2290. Also, don't forget, you schedule a spring heating and air tune-up with Blue Water Climate Control between now and the spring game. Your name will be entered into a drawing to win two season passes to Tennessee football this season, all eight home games. Refer a friend and you increase your chances to win. The drawing will be held on April the 26th. So schedule your service today and tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. All right, wrapping up the show this afternoon. We got to pour one out for a couple of famous celebrity deaths today. DMX passes away. That was a blow?
Yeah, for me, Rough Rider.
The dogs were, I always found that a bit unnerving because that was like around the same time as the Michael Vick thing. And I'm not saying he was involved in that. It's like, why do you have so many dogs, dude?
Because that was kind of his nickname. He was a dog.
He was a dog.
And he kind of barked he kind of had a more of a gruff voice.
Hey, did the thing in
and the guys from Yonkers. Yeah,
is that where the he's a dog? We need more dogs. Is that where it came from?
I don't know, but he did definitely
popularize dogs that as an analogy for toughness.
Yeah, and he was a tough guy, and unfortunately, he lost his battle with his demons.
What did he have?
He had off and on had some very serious. He had a really rough childhood, as a lot of people do. And he had a lifelong problem with really with hard drug abuse and going bouncing in and out of rehab. And it sounds like, from what they've said, he did a little too much and had a massive heart attack.
Too bad, man. Those drugs would get you, man.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
But rest in peace. Who else do we? Oh,
the Prince.
The Prince. Prince Philip. Yeah, that's different, man. He's 99. That's a life well lived. That guy, you know,
no doubt.
World War II.
Well, and it's also
married the Queen.
The only time I will get to say literally, "Good night, sweet Prince."
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And
so now you're going to see it turn to where a lot
see
of people.
Some of those pictures, Queen Elizabeth, man, back in the day.
I don't know. Prince died a couple years ago, didn't he? Did you say it then?
That was a tragedy.
I should have. Yeah.
Another one gone.
Missed opportunity.
A lot of the general population in Britain want Charles to abdicate, and they want Wills to be the next king of England when
Why?
The queen passes away. Because he's young.
Chuck has paid his dues.
He didn't pay his dues. He embarrassed his mother and his whole family.
Bear, are you one to be taught? Am I one? Let he who has not embarrassed their family cast the first stone, man. My man has been through some stuff. He's old. He's not going to be king long. I feel like
I feel like he's due. I feel like he needs at least a couple of years to sit on that throne, man, just to say he did it. His son is still a young man. He'll have plenty of time. I say give Chuck the throne. You know who needs to abdicate is the queen. That's who needs to abdicate. She needs to step down and give Charles his time on the throne.
Okay, I can see your point, Russ.
Rick doesn't even know who we're talking about.
Never, never give up your place on the throne. That is rule number one. I would never. You worked hard. You didn't work hard. But look, you're there. You're there. I wouldn't give it up.
No, I wouldn't give it up, man. I mean, that's his birthright. He thought he'd be king. He thought he'd been king for a long time by now. And it just hasn't worked out that way. So pour one out for the Duke of Edinburgh, passing away earlier today at the age of 99. Very, very sad. All right, boys. Rick, it's good to see you, man. Thanks for coming out and hanging out with us.
Hey, you guys want to come over and watch WrestleMania with me this weekend?
I'm probably not going to be
showing
okay.
up. Thing to do. Okay, so sorry, all weekend. I'm
tremendous.
Just doing things.
All right. Brandon can't either, so I'll be by myself.
Now, you could. What you could do is FaceTime me and just point your phone at the TV.
How long would you stay on that kind of call? That doesn't seem too fun.
I mean, as long as I had a good picture on my phone, I'd probably... Who's the main event?
Edge.
Edge is back?
Edge is back. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
From back in the day.
I love Edge. Remember Edge? He was with Gangrel.
What?
And Christian, and they were the Brood.
They did it.
I do remember their tag team back when, in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Him and all.
He's like
he
my
has
age.
Given us the Edge. Did give us one of the great gifs of all time.
Which one was that one?
Where he's between the ropes and he's like looking.
Oh yeah.
Okay. He's doing that thing.
he's picking his spot to go harbor somebody.
The greatest spot in WrestleMania history is when Jeff Hardy was hanging on by the title in the ladder match, and Edge on the top of a 25-foot ladder speared him as Hardy is just holding on, swinging, dangling from these belts. Elevated off the ground.
That sounds dangerous.
One of the most incredible things
you'll
ever see.
They'll probably both have severe problems later on in life with CTE and spinal cord injuries.
Edge has not wrestled in 10 years because of that. So this is first year back. But anyways.
Because of that move? That
not
move?
That move.
But
repeated.
Just cumulative.
Yeah. So anyways. All right. No interest. It's all good, though. I'll let you know what happens.
Okay. Sounds great.
I think you did a good job, Rick. You interviewed the local wrestling gal.
Oh, hell yeah.
Did a good job.
That was awesome.
Very good. Let's get one last check of the leaderboard. I've heard several very big applause. Big applauses.
Hello, friends.
Applause I? What is the pearl of applauses?
Hello, friends. Do it for us, Russ.
Friends. Justin Rose. Still 7-under. He's got a one-shot lead over Will Zalatoris. Brian Harman at 6-under. It's going to be a wild, shaping up to be a good tournament. Shaping up to be a very good tournament. Jordan Spieth at 5-under. He is 2 back. Finau is in the hunt at 4-under. Cameron Champ, the guy who hits it a country mile, is also at 4-under. Morikawa, who won the PGA last year, he's at 2-under. Some big names up there. DeChambeau went 5-under today to get to 1-under. Don't count him out.
He's got the power to pull it off.
I feel like Justin Rose is one of those names. He's always near the top of this tournament.
He'll fade. He's a fader.
He'll fade.
Yeah.
Like bad flatulence, he'll fade away. Oh, man, now it's a party.
I'm telling you, Sean call it right. Nunley's here. The Nunster's here. This tent is full. The golf is on the TV. The beer's flowing. The food's hot.
I love the chill vibe here.
Look how good Nunley looks.
And collars.
It's Sean Nunley. Love it.
All right, boys. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you,
Bear. Thanks to Rusty Enzer, John Hodge for joining the festivities. Thank you to Adam Hickman and Guy Patterson back in the Fan Run Studios.
I like that we settled on Guy Patterson. That sounds great. I think we may have missed a call from Raj. Raj, if you will call on Monday, I will move you to the very front of the line, my friend. I'm very sorry,
Roger.
Raj.
That's on me, man. That's on me. I didn't see that. All right. Have a great weekend, folks. Baseball time in Tennessee. We'll talk to you Monday right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Costa.